want to thank Travis for reading that passage for us this morning to help to get us started. In just a moment, I'll be going back and taking a look at why we chose that passage as a starting point for the lesson. Before I do, just as a point of reference for those of you in the audience, if there are those that would like copies of the outline, there are some of those available in the back, basically just the slides that we'll be looking at to kind of give you an idea. You can pick one up and take it home with you if you'd like, or you can pick one up and follow along as we study in the Word of God. And what I want to look at today is I want to look at the idea of how we show our love for God. We have a command in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, verses 37 and 38. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And if we as Christians have this great commandment of something we must do, then we need to understand how it is that we can do this. And so one of the things that I try to do anytime that I present a lesson from the Word of God is I try to leave you with something that is very simple to take with you, but something that you can use throughout your day-to-day life. And so what I did in preparing this lesson was I thought about how can we remember ways to show we love our God. And so what I did was simply took the letters L-O-V-E and created a simple acrostic to remind us how we can show our love for God. And that's actually what we're going to be looking at as we go through the lesson this morning. And the first thing that I think we need to remember if we want to show our love to God, and the L will remind us we need to listen to His Word. And the reason that I selected the passage and asked Travis to read the passage in Nehemiah 8 is because we have an example of people gathering together to listen to the law or to listen to the Word of God and to see how those people went about listening to the Word of God and how we can do that. I also appreciate Travis reading that because I didn't have to stumble through the names. And you did a very good job, Travis. Thank you. As we go through, one of the first things that I find is that they eagerly listened to the Word of God. If we look at the first couple of verses, we find that they wanted to come together and they wanted to worship the Lord. We should feel the same way. We should be eager and we should be excited to get to hear what the Word of God has to tell us. And if we're going to choose to listen to what the Word of God has to say, we can learn from verse 3 that we need to do so attentively. We need to pay attention to and we need to focus on what it is that's being said. We understand if we looked at the idea of listening versus hearing in the word today, in the world today, you hear phrases from spouses such as, "Yes, you heard what I said, but you didn't listen. You didn't take it in. You didn't absorb what it is that I'm trying to tell you." And we find that the people here listened attentively, and they listened to the book of the law. The word attentive is actually used right there in the third verse. If we look a little bit further forward, we need to listen trustingly. We need to be able to see what the Word of God says, hear it, and trust that what's in there is truth. We need to trust that what's being told to us will happen. We need to trust, and we need to believe that Jesus Christ truly was buried and raised again, and that He is preparing a home for us. That requires a trust. And it requires a trust in the speaker of the Word, which is God the Father and our Lord and Savior. If we're going to listen to the Word, we should listen expectantly. All the people stood up in verse 5 when the word of God was sent. They were expecting and excited to hear what it is. We can look at the word of God and we can hear the word of God and we can expect it to do something in our lives. We can expect it to make a difference if we're willing to listen to what is said. We need to listen prayerfully. We see in verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They listened prayerfully to the law that was being taught. We need to listen prayerfully to the words of God the Father and what it is that He has for each and every one of us. Here's a tough one for some people today. We need to listen patiently. We may get antsy. We may get to the point where we're tired of sitting in a warm building having to listen to someone lead a Bible class. We may feel uncomfortable or tired sitting in a hot building when someone's presenting a message from the Word of God. We need to be willing to listen patiently to what's being said. And the other side of being patient and listening patiently is being patient for the results that we would desire. I think every one of us here would love it if Jesus Christ and God the Father would end the world today and we could simply all go to a home in heaven and be done with it and be done with the difficulties of this world. But that's not for us at this time, so we need to be patient in dealing with the Word. We see an example of the people bowing their heads as they listen. We need to listen humbly to what the Word of God has to say. We need to stop focusing on what we think it is that God's message is trying to tell us and just listen to Him and what He has to say. We need to stop thinking about how I interpret or how I want things to be and simply listen to the way things are. We need to listen with a purpose. When we come in to study the Word of God, when we open up the Word of God, we should be looking to gain something from it. I've heard of a person who said that before he would preach a sermon at a congregation, he wouldn't even decide what it was he was going to speak on until he was sitting in the car and he opened up the Bible, and wherever it opened, that must be where God was telling him he needed to preach from. He had no purpose in where he was going. Now, there's also a joke that somewhat goes along with that, too, where people talk about a person had done that, and the individual opens it up. He opens up the Word of God. He puts his finger on a verse, and it says, Judas went and hung himself. And so he thinks, well, that's not going to work. You know, that really doesn't make sense. Let's try it a second time. And he opens up the Word of God, and he reads the phrase, go thou and do the same. Yeah, well, I can't really teach on that particular idea, but maybe the third time is a charm. So he opens up the book to the Word of God, and he reads, what thou must do, do it quickly. He had no purpose. He had no idea in where he was going to go. And to be very honest, I was offended that he would say that he could do that. And I let him know that. And I would hope each and every one of you would be absolutely offended if I told you that as soon as I got behind this podium, that's when I would decide what I was going to talk about, and I didn't put any time and I didn't put any effort into study and to listening to what the Word of God has to say. Because I would not only be cheating myself and cheating you, but worse than that, I would be cheating God Himself. In verse 17, we find that they listened happily. We should take joy and feel good and be happy when we get to read and hear the Word of God. It's something that should be enjoyable to us. and we didn't cover it, let's read verse chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, and we'll find, as we continue on, that the people listened repentantly. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and they confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for one fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. They listened to the word repentantly, and they responded, and they reacted. And if we want to show our love for God, if you can't remember anything else from this lesson today that comes out of that, remember that we need to listen to His word. The second thing that we can do if we want to show our love for God, and if we simply use the first letter O, we need to obey His commands. And this is not something that I'm telling you must do. This is something that the Word of God tells you must do. John, the 14th chapter and verse 15, very simply stated, Jesus Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I don't need to say anything more. The Word of God says it all. John, the 14th chapter, verses 23 and 24. And Jesus answered him and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make him our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So, if we don't want to show our love for God, we can just go out and do what it is the world tells us to do. Do everything for me, live for today, because nothing else matters. Or we can show our love by listening to His word, by obeying the commands that are written in His word, and doing what He would have us to do. Look a little bit further. 1 John the 5th chapter, verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." I think most of us understand, and most people in the world are fine with the idea that we keep His commandments. But the world doesn't see the remainder of that verse. They don't see that the commandments we're keeping are not burdensome. It's not difficult to do what Jesus Christ asks you to do if you follow His word. The world today says, "I don't want to be a Christian because I don't want to put the effort and the time that it takes." The reality is, if you truly study the Word of God, you're going to find, as it clearly states itself, His commandments are not burdensome. It's not that hard to do what God expects. And the reality is, most people that just want to be good people in general are doing some of the things already. And so if I can express to them, you're already doing some of these things, you only have to add a little bit more. Now you shouldn't feel like the work is that tough, because you're just adding a little bit more. You're just doing a little bit more. And there's no reason anybody should feel we're not able to. Moving on. Not only do we want to listen to His word, not only do we want to obey His commands, we need to learn to value His gifts. We all like to get gifts, don't we? Why is it, people say, the most exciting holiday in the world is Christmas? If you take aside all the false beliefs about Christmas being a religious holiday and anything else, and you just look at the idea of holidays that people enjoy, why do people get excited at Christmas time? Because they know they're going to get gifts. It's exciting to get something. And we appreciate getting something. As the giver, we often feel good when we see the smile on the face of the person that received the gift. But how do we feel when we're really excited to give a child a gift and they open it up and they haven't learned any better, they're still young, and they say something like, well, I already have this, or, yeah, it's a truck, but this isn't the truck that I wanted. When they don't value the gift that we've given to them, don't we feel bad as the giver? How do we think God the Father feels when He gives us all of these wonderful gifts and blessings and we say, yeah, but whatever. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I expected. I might be guilty of this a little bit recently. We've been out looking for a house, as all of you know. And we've gone up and down and up and down and looked everywhere we could. And I kept saying, yeah, but it doesn't have this. Yeah, but it doesn't have that. It doesn't have, and I couldn't find the value. Well, thankfully, I can now value the gift that my wife and I have been given to live in here and to be here with you. But the reality is, we can choose to appreciate and we can choose to accept things, or we can choose not to. And how we respond is going to determine how the giver responds to us. So, as Christians, what kind of gifts do we get? How about the gift of creation? Do we recognize that our existence, our entire existence and being, comes from God the Father? Well, let's take a look and see what Genesis 1:1 says. Very simply, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was created, and it was given for man as a place to live. And how many wonderful places do we have to look for and to find here on this earth? Look at all the different opportunities of places we can choose to live. God has given us an abundance of choices in His gift to us in where we can live and where we can appreciate what He's given us. Psalm the 19th chapter 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. That's incorrect. Just leave it at 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. My apologies. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, most of us know this. Most of us would like to be able to quote it. It states, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Not just some. Every good and perfect gift. And do we recognize that? Do we recognize and do we appreciate the gift of His Word? Do we realize how much easier it is for us today than it was for those living in times of old, that we have all of the accounts recorded and collected and easy for us to go back and study? How much easier is it for us to be able to go back and to look? We need to be grateful that we have the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Or we could say, and in keeping them there is great value. And when we value and when we appreciate it, we are again expressing our love to God, which, as we noticed in the very first in the very beginning of the slides, in Matthew we are commanded to do. If we look a little bit further, we can look at John, the 6th chapter, and verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And let's look at one more. Let's go ahead, and we all need it. We all understand it. We realize that reading the Word of God provides comfort and hope and guidance. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, again, I love the terms all, everything, nothing. There is no exclusion. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. It's valuable because it gives you everything that you need. Everything. Christmas morning, when you open up those presents, eventually you run out. And there's something that you might have been hoping for that you really felt you needed, but it's not there. That's not true with the gift of the Word of God. With the Word of God, you get everything. You get all that you could ever need, all that you could ever want. It's not like the toys where you start with one and then you have to go out and spend money every time you want to get the next step to work with it. You don't have to spend money over and over and over again in order to get the blessings that come from the gift of the Word. It's compiled. It's there for you all at once. Obviously, as Christians, we know that we have the gift of salvation. And this is only made possible by the love of God. John, the first chapter, and verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Saw him, recognized him, this is who he is. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 3:16, it's a well-known verse. It's an often abused verse. But if we read it and if we understand it correctly, we should see the value in the gift. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I don't know if somebody came to me and said, you know what? Wayne came to me and said, "Travis is going to die if you don't sacrifice Jared for him. If you don't give up your son to save him." Now, I love and appreciate Travis and his willingness to put me in a home and to help give us a place to go. But I don't know how hard it would be to say, "Yes, I'm willing to sacrifice my only son for the better of Travis." Does he mean that much to me? Do I see that much value in him? Take it a step further. People that have lived the life of a drug dealer. People that have lived the life as a murderer, an extortioner, the prostitute. They come up to me and they say, "Will you give your son so that I can live?" Pretty tough, isn't it? Tough to think about a real reality. All of a sudden, I see the value in what God did. And I can't, for the life of me, imagine allowing my son to suffer the worst possible pain and agony that is available to man so that the murderer can be saved or set free. That's what God did. That's what God allowed. That's what he did for us. Let's look a little further. We have the gift of his church. Do we realize that? Do you realize coming together with your fellow brethren is a gift? Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 18. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And then we have a command in Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This is to the elders, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He paid a greater price than any gift that you've been given that you think has value. We also understand that the church is the kingdom of God, the bride of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got some verses there. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, I'll read to you, says, do you not know you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We need to recognize and value God's church. And we need to value the gift of his promises. And this goes back to listening trustingly. We have to believe that when Jesus Christ or God the Father tells us that something is happening, that that's exactly what he means. And that's exactly what takes place. We can look forward to a resurrection from the dead. We have a hope, and we have something that a lot of people in the world today don't have. And that's looking beyond the grave. For some in the world today, they don't believe in anything the Word of God has to say, and all they see is ultimately death is the end. We have a promise of a resurrection. John, the 5th chapter, verse 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, the other promise that maybe we miss when we look at that is, we don't have to deal with those that did evil anymore. Because the promise is, those that do evil are going to suffer condemnation. Do we see that promise too? We see not only that we get something great, but that we also don't have to deal with those that would harm or be difficult to us. The last thing that we really need to think about is we need to express it openly. We need to let people know of our love for God the Father and everything that he's done for us. We need to let people know what it means to be a Christian. And we need to let God himself know that we love and appreciate what he's done for us. See, in the world today, people tend to remember or think of God at a time when things are not going their way, at a time when things are at their worst. Oh, I'm going to get down on my knees, and I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to say, please help me, please do this for me, do this for me, and do this for me. And the rest of the time, I want nothing to do with you, or I'll have nothing to do with you. Don't we get tired as parents when all we ever hear from our children is, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and there's no appreciation for what they have and for who we are as parents raising them. I stop and think about how I would feel if the only time any of you would ever come talk to me was when you wanted something. Rob, I need something from you. Rob, I want something from you. But when things are going good, I don't hear a word from you. I don't think I'd feel real good. I don't think I'd really feel loved. I think I'd feel more used. God doesn't think the way we do, but if we try to think in our finite minds how that might play out, how do you think God would feel if the only time anybody in the world, a much grander scale, would come to him was when I want something, I need something, or I'm depressed, or things are going bad, and that's all he ever gets to hear? I don't think I could be a psychologist because I'd probably wind up in a nut farm myself if all I ever heard was how bad everything is all the time and never heard the good. Yes, we need to pray to God when times are tough. Yes, we need to ask for his help and his encouragement. And yes, sometimes we should just sit down and pray to God and say thank you. I appreciate what you've done for me. I appreciate the fact that I have a good job. I appreciate the fact that I have a roof over my head. I appreciate the fact that even though you allowed my mother, my father, my spouse to pass from here and no longer be with me, but I appreciate the fact that you're going to allow me to see them one day again in heaven. I appreciate that. But do we? Or is prayer our crutch of complaint? We need both. We need to express it. We need to do it. And what really got me thinking about that, it's kind of funny. Yesterday was my wife and I's 11th anniversary, and we were sitting having lunch, and Jared asked, are you going to talk about the love and stuff? You know? And I was like, you know, I said, you know what? I said, we really don't have to talk about it because we understand it. But then my wife would say, if you ever said that to anybody, I'd knock you out. Because you still have to express it, and you still have to let me know. You know, doing the dishes does not equate to I love you in my house. She still needs to know, and she still needs to hear it. God still needs to know. He still needs to hear that, yes, we love you, and we understand. So if you get nothing from the lesson today, this is what I would ask you to remember. Think of the word love. Think how you need to listen to what God has to say. Think about how you need to obey it once it's been said. Think about how you can value what he's given to you, and think about how you can express it to him and let him know. We can look forward to something better. And that's not something that everybody in the world can say at this time in their life. However, they have the opportunity to be able to say that, if they're willing to make a choice to listen and to follow after him. And this is true of those of us in the audience today. If we have not yet made a decision to follow after Jesus Christ and have not realized the opportunity of a home in heaven, we have an opportunity to express that, and we have an opportunity to be buried in the waters of baptism and to receive those valuable gifts that we've talked about. Or if there are those that have had a need because maybe they've found themselves forgetting about the value of everything they've been given, they've found themselves slipped just a little bit, like we even talked about in class today, and they need to make that known and to ask God for forgiveness and to have that to be changed, he is more than willing to accept it, to hear that. Or if simply times are tough and you need the encouragement and the strength and the prayers of your brothers and sisters, we would invite you to make that known while we